Hey, Dr. J, how are you?
Hey, how are you doing, Dave?
I got my volume turned off.
Can hear you.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah, absolutely. How's it going, man?
Good, good.
Good.
Got all the stuff. I got some Clydes.
Oh, nice. Nice.
I got you. Recognize this one?
Yep,
I
yep.
think we talked about
Yep.
this a few episodes ago.
Yep. I've got one of those somewhere over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got it's full of cigar wrappers.
Nice. Yeah, I still got two of these hanging around. I haven't used one in probably 20 years, but
Now, how do you like that Clyde May? Have you had that how long have you been drinking that?
I had seen it on the shelves here near Virginia, and because we got ABC stores just like you do in Alabama, and it's a little on the expensive side, and Alabama's not known for its whiskey, but you'd mentioned a few times in the podcast. I said, "What the hell?" I guess it's pretty good. It's not my favorite, but it's interesting. And the thing I mentioned, one time, I sort of broke it out last season for like the Alabama games, but it was a bad season, so I was like, "Man, I'm not sure this Clyde Mays or." Way to go. But I suspect that the linkage is not that strong, but
No, what's funny is I had seen it at a bar, sort of in the on their sort of their inventory, and this was a Friday night in Tuscaloosa. I'd seen it in one of the bars, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder if that's any good. And so the next day, one of our listeners invited me to a tailgate, and he had a big old bottle of it. He's like, oh, you're gonna love this stuff if you've not had it. And so yeah, it is a little different. It's that Alabama style is 85 85 proof, so it's a little easier for just sipping. But I like it. I think it's pretty good. There's a oh, I don't know what it's I don't know which it's the white label. I don't know what they call it. It's closer to 100.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And it's
I tend to
pretty
like a little higher proof,
good. Yeah.
but I've had this is like my, I think the third or fourth bottle I bought of this.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, the yellow one's always the one that's on sale. So,
Yeah.
And to grab it, but they've got the white label in stock around here, so I can give it a whirl at
Yeah.
some point.
Yeah, the white label's pretty good.
Prefer 100
And
proof bourbon.
what's that?
I tend to prefer 100 proof or higher.
Yeah.
The problem with that is you can't drink as much of it. I mean, you
Right.
can, but the next day
Right.
it it's I'm not as young as I used to be.
Right.
But
Yes. Yep.
the But just in terms of the sheer, the just the yeah, the flavor and everything, it's just
Yep.
almost always in any given line. It's like I remember as a kid, you'd see like the wild turkey, at the checkout. So like, so I was a kid in Texas. You see, like even like the stop and go, kind of like the local 7-Eleven equivalent. You get there's wild turkey was available, and I remember being 100 proof, didn't really 101 proof didn't really mean anything to me. And by the time I started really drinking the stuff, the 101 was like a special upgrade, and everything had become 80 proof. And the 80 proof is just eh, and most of them.
80, yeah, 80 proof is a little more watered down. Yeah, I'm trying to remember last time I was in Tuscaloosa. It was that Mississippi State game. I went to there's a restaurant there, and we've Chuck Seafood. I don't know. It's downtown. I would say more, but it's been there 7 or 8 years now.
Oh yeah, no, I had, I gosh, I can't tell you the last time I've been to Tuscaloosa. It's probably been 20 years, but at this point,
Has
I
it?
mean, I went a few years, a few times after grad school because I had people down there. But I mean, my folks lived up in Jacksonville, and Anniston, between
Yep.
Anniston and Gadsden up there. So I mean, I would go down to see them. My dad's been gone for, gosh, more than 10 years now. My mom passed a couple of years ago. So, I mean, I really have no reason to go down, even go to Alabama anymore for
Right.
anything. So,
Yeah, it's I mean, there's parts of it you wouldn't recognize. It has changed, pretty significantly. A lot of it's campus build, and campuses build up like crazy. A lot of it is all the condos that have built up around the stadium and around town. It's insane how much additional housing there is.
Oh, I
And then a
imagine.
lot of the retail, the tornado, when it came through, it took down a lot, and a lot of that was rebuilt with sort of newer retail outlets. And it, and I had all sorts of empathy for, the people displaced with the tornado. But it really did sort of remake parts of the town. It's interesting. But anyways, I was sitting at Chuck Seafood, and they had a Clyde May. It was a 110,
Oh, nice.
and so I got just two fingers of that, and I was like, all right,
Yeah, nice.
I can taste a big difference on that one.
No, it's been a long time. I mean, I lived, I got my master's at Jacksonville State, spent about 4 years in the Army, and then, went to, the PhD program in Alabama. And, I lived not far from the stadium, down off of 10th Avenue, down in some really crappy apartments, literally across the street from the Section 8 housing, because I was, paying my own way and trying to not go into debt, and I was successful at that. But but yeah, that part, you've had, I was in the Earl Hilliard district, right? So it was literally Tuscaloosa and Birmingham, like the wrong side of the track, right side of the track kind of deal, right? In terms of which district you're in. Back when, the majority minority district, I don't even know if that still exists down there. And but yeah, it's it was a strange place, because there was a lot of blight, down there near the stadium. And of course, Alabama, the good games were in Allegiant Field in those days. So there really nothing you'd really want to see was at the stadium, which was much, much smaller. They've upgraded that multiple times. And of course, the university itself has almost doubled in size just in the Saban era. I mean, he has been lights out for recruiting, giving the university a national profile, which is strange, because it's not like it didn't have a national profile in football before. But it's it's a dear, it's we've probably got 15,000 more students, on campus now than we did when he started.
They did when Katrina came through, there was Richard Shelby has his fingerprints all over. Maybe you've seen it, but there's sort of a map where there were the areas that were going to be allowed sort of additional federal funding to help rebuild. And the map sort of goes along, along the coastline, along the coastline, along the coastline, up to Tuscaloosa, along the coastline, along the coastline. Literally, it's like this. It's this. And so Tuscaloosa was included. And man, you could tell they built a lot of condos, a lot of all sorts of stuff around.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't notice
What?
it 2 years later.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it's like now, but I was in the political science program, obviously, and so it was at Ten Hoer Hall, which the parking lot of which became unusable by students starting, about noon on Thursdays, because all the RVs started, packing in there, right, for the really extended tailgate. People, lining up to see UT Chattanooga, whoever, right? And it's like,
No, that's true. And I remember thinking as a student, especially, early on, I had classes there, Tin Horn as well. And so you think about, man, where's the university definitely has their priority here. So no students out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We were not the priority.
Chris, man, how's it going?
And yourself?
Fantastic. Fantastic.
So I got a new moniker up there tonight.
I saw
All right, so
that.
I
I was
saw
like, who's Roll
that.
Tide joining? I was like, oh, that's Mary.
It's Mary. She did. She was, well, 5 minutes to eight. She's like, we got to change it. We got to change it for you. I said, all
That's
right, you can
awesome.
change it.
Miss, I'm representing tonight, so
There you go. I
Oh,
love
there you go.
it.
I've got my glasses from
Hey, there
Legend
you go.
Footwear.
There you
Oh, nice.
There you go.
Nice. So I've been meaning to email you. So they shipped them out. You got them. That's great.
Yep. Yep.
Fantastic.
And I bought one for my brother, so I'll hang on to that for Christmas. So
fantastic. He'll
get the pint glass. So
cool.
Yeah. No, it was nice. I was excited to get them. I got them two nights ago, and I said, "Hey, I'll have to use them if we got a call Thursday. We'll have to use them Thursday night."
So. Open those things up. So that's pretty cool.
So James, when did you go to Alabama? What years?
So I was there from 92 to 95.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So it's been a while. Yeah. So I mean, you know, hilariously, my first year there, you know, we won the national championship. And then, you know, it was a pretty long drought after that, yeah. Right? But, and of course, and in fact, you know, the 93 season, you know, which I emailed Dave about, you know, to kind of reminiscing about, you know, the Brian Denning experience. It was not a great season to begin with. You know, you ended the unbeaten streak with a tie. You lost to LSU, lost to Auburn, still went to the SEC championship game because Auburn was on probation, lost in the SEC championship game. And then, like, damn near every win or tie that season wound up being forfeited eventually because of the Antonio Langham crap, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that the tie game against Tennessee, I had I used to hang out with a bunch of people that love Notre Dame. So we'd get together and of course the Notre Dame games were all on TV then.
Yeah.
But the Alabama games never were.
Yeah.
But the one guy had the satellite hookup for back then, I mean 93, it was hard to get stuff. So I ended up paying pay-per-view for it. So they watched their Notre Dame game and I sat up in his bedroom and watched for $12, which, you know, back then was a lot of money.
Yeah.
I watched the Alabama tie. So.
Yeah. It's amazing how good we've got it in that regard. Cause I mean, you know, I mean, I last lived in Alabama, God, 18 years ago now, you know, I taught at Troy for 4 years and moved up here in 2002. And I don't miss a game. I mean, now even like, you know, we keep making fun of, you know, UT Chattanooga, but we played, you know, directional Kentucky Institute for the Blind and it's on TV somewhere.
Yeah.
And, somewhere. You know, for free usually.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. We haven't had like an authentic pay-per-view. It seems like in quite a long time.
Oh, no. No, and I'm surprised. It's like, I mean, like games, it's like, you know, we're favored by 78 points. And it's on like an ESPN, like, thing that doesn't have like a Roman numeral or a Spanish
version in it, right? Man. Yeah.
You know, it's great. It really is. And of course, And of course, you can get like, you know, all the coverage because the internet, you know, that's been true for, you know, a lot of years now. Although it's amazing how bad. Like, you know, I read Alabama.com because that's what there is, but it's like, how do these people have jobs?
Some of the like, coverage, right?
You know, it's like, my God, this is dumb. Like, you did this for a living. I mean, granted, it's probably a $38,000, you know, a year job, but still, it's like, damn.
Still,
yeah.
You can't get anybody to come more insights than this. I mean,
and that, you know, unfortunately, that's one of the better ones, too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I watch, you know, I read that, I read the ESPN, although the problem is the way since they quit, they're not really paying anybody anymore.
Yeah.
And so they tag everything that mentions Alabama or, you know, the Southeastern Conference is like, and their formatting is so stupid. It's like, I'm gonna like be tired by the time I finish scrolling down to the end of this article, so I can get to the next article.
Yeah, like, I can't even go on a website anymore. It's too archaic, you know.
Yeah.
But what happened with you guys in like Bama Hammer? Yeah, it was just I guess it got too aggravating. Then you went back on your own. Or?
So it was. I mean, you know, we enjoyed our time. We really did enjoy our time with them. And there's no sort of bad story, sort of hard feelings or anything. We, and you guys know, we have, for the most part, been in season only. And so we sort of, you know, for a lot of years, we kind of go dormant in the off season. And so, and when we when it's our website, it's our sort of content and all of that, you know, no one complains about that.
Right.
And when we were on Bama Hammer, they didn't complain too much about it. They wanted, you know, can you do some more content? Which was, that's fine, because I was writing some stuff and that was, and that was all right. But we weren't doing it as regularly. And so like your access to the back end of their site would expire if you had not logged in 30 days. And so every time I let that expire, the first couple times they're like, oh yeah, we'll turn that back on. And the editor, the lead editor there, probably changed 4 or 5 times while we were there. And so the guy that sort of recruited us to join, you know, he had left, and with every sort of next person, we weren't, you know, sort of, we were just somebody. We weren't the person that they had recruited specifically to be the podcast on the site. And then they had another couple of people that were doing podcasts on there, which that's fine. But it reached a point where we had gotten to the end of, well, the end of the off season, coming up on a season. This was just a couple of years ago. And so I reached out to him, and it was Ronald. He's the guy that does it now. He's a really nice guy. And I said, hey man, our access is out, you know, can you hook us back up? We're getting ready to, you know, looking forward to the season, yada, yada. And he said, yeah, let me check with sort of our, whatever sort of the hierarchy is, you know, let me look, you know, and he came back and said, yeah, you guys are going to need to be sort of requalified and sort of retrained and, you know, sort of reapproved to be part of the site. You know, can you fill out this form and, you know, all that. And so I just kind of made it a split, you know, sort of a split, you know, in the moment decision. I said, you know, because and you guys have seen this. I'll wait and wait and wait. And I do this at work too, right? I will wait and wait and wait and sort of procrastinate. And then it's like, all right, I got to go now. And so when I reached out to him, I was like, I've got 3 articles. I've got a recorded podcast. I'm like, I'm ready to go now. And so he said, well, you know, da, 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 da. I was like, nope, that's cool. That's cool. I understand. I respect that. We're going to go back to our regular site. And so I spent, you know, I think it was a Friday. So I spent the weekend sort of dusting off our site, you know, updated the sort of the deal, and sort of, I was posting stuff by Sunday. And so we've sort of been back, you know, more independent since then. We always controlled the feed, the iTunes feed. I never wanted to give that up. So we've always controlled that. It's just where it sort of posted out. And so we've got a couple year sort of gap where we were over there. It was great. We had a, you know, we enjoyed that. But I sort of like the flexibility of being back where we are. Yeah. And, you know, to be really candid with you, one of the reasons we moved is because we thought there'd be a lot of traffic bump, and there really wasn't. And so it's like, well, you know, we're probably not helping your traffic and you're not helping our traffic, and we like each other, but, I need less rules.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've been doing like the blogging thing since like January of like 2003.
Yeah.
And there was a while I was actually making some money at it, and I was doing kind of pre-podcasting. There was this thing called Blog Talk Radio, which was kind of like, you know, and they recruited me for that and were paying me for it. Then it's like, oh, we can't pay you for it. And it's like, okay, we're fine. We're, you know, we're kind of having a good time with it. It may or may not be helping us, but it's not really that much work, so we'll keep doing it. And then it was like, oh, we need you to start paying us to, like, for the, and I'm like, yeah, no. So this is our last episode. Right. Yeah.
Nope.
So yeah, the internet is such a weird damn thing with this stuff, because you know, I mean, I get a decent traffic on the stuff and with Twitter and everything else, but it's like there is no money in it anymore unless you are like tens of thousands of followers. You know, I've got like, I don't know, 7,000 Twitter followers or something. Yeah, there's no money in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is fun. I mean, thankfully, I've got a real job that you know that pays the rent.
Right.
But you know, and I didn't get into it to make any money. I was just, it was just kind of a hobby that turned into something else. But it was just like, yeah, no.
Right.
And plus, they wanted me to do promos and, like, you know, that kind of stuff. And it's fun if, like, you got, like, something you like to promo, but, yeah, like, you know, the legend stuff, great. It's fine.
Yeah.
Hey, these are cool glasses. I like to drink brown water. Yay. But, right, you know, if they're kind of like controlling what you got to say or something, no.
Yeah, we, you know, we'd always hope to make maybe a little bit of money, or at least sort of offset the cost. And for the longest time, we didn't, and that was okay. Yeah. But we get people, you know, reaching out for ads. And I think the one, you guys have probably heard me mention this, sort of the funniest one is Crystals wanted to advertise with, and they wanted to pay us in coupons. So they wanted us to advertise Crystals, but then they wanted to give us coupons for free hamburgers or whatever it was. And
do you like lousy hamburgers?
Yeah, exactly, right.
And, if you eat a bunch of them, you'll be full.
That's right. For a few minutes anyways. Yeah, we said we'll pass on that. And then there's been a couple of you know, they call themselves sort of networks. And so it's networks of these podcasts.
Yeah.
And then they give it an advertiser because they can have higher volume sort of across, you know, the collection of, you know, 10 or 12, 15 different, you know, podcasts. But they want, you know, 2 or 3 minutes at the beginning, 2 or 3 minutes in the middle, and 2 or 3 minutes at the end. And then one wants you to have to post a podcast at least once a week. So 50 episodes a year. And
yeah,
man, that's
a lot.
I'd like for us to have that type of schedule, but I don't want to be, you know, married to it and have to put in such just so many ads. And then it wouldn't be a whole lot of money that we'd make for it. So it just seemed like it's just not worth it. So
how long does it take you to prep for a pod? Because I mean, you talk for 45 minutes straight. Yeah. It's pretty impressive.
Man, sometimes
I don't know. Maybe you're breaking it up, but we can't tell.
I don't. I record it all. It is easier when it's Tommy because we can sort of play off one another. I mean, I just catch my breath. Sometimes like, holy jeez, just talking. And sometimes I'll even say, I've got a good drink of water and catch my breath. Sometimes we edit those out. Sometimes we don't. But I this is, you know, what's kind of funny is, you know, Tommy didn't prep at all. And so he would just watch the game and he could come in and talk about it. Like he's more of a savant's not the right word, but he sort of gets it and sees it, you know, faster than I do. And so I call myself a method actor. I watch the game. I'll sit down and think about it. Like and I could never record it like the same day. It's something about waking up that next morning and say, okay, I'd sort of do it naturally, but then I'll force myself that next morning. I'll wake up and I'll say, okay, what's my first thought on the game? Like just wake it up from clear. What's my first thought? And then I will read as many of those bad articles as I can find. And it is nothing to read, you know, 40 or 50 tabs on, you know, because I'll go through and open everything up and then I'll go through them. And what's interesting, and so in terms of, let me answer your question. So in terms of, and so I'll do that. And then I'll sit down and I don't want to just repeat anything that, you know, just what everyone says. I still want to put my thoughts on it. And so then I'll sit down and I'll pull up the box score. And so I can just look at the numbers. Mm-hmm. And then I'll sit down with a blank sheet of paper and I don't have one with me. And I'll sit down with a blank sheet. At one point I had like 8 years of them and I finally threw them away because I just saved them. One day I had a stack like this thick and I was like, why the hell am I saving these? But I'll take a blank sheet of paper and I'll turn it landscape and I'll write offense at the top of one side, defense on the other. And then I'll just put down, you know, bullet points, 5 or 6 or 8 bullet points, maybe a player. And then I'll write, you know, my mini game ball and I'll circle it. And then I'll do the same on defense. And then the bottom in the middle, I'll write special teams and sort of at the corner, I'll write a couple comments on the next team. and then that's it. But and then I'll get going, and sometimes I can't stop talking. But
that's cool.
But that's sort of the approach that that I take. And there have been times where I've gotten on there and I've said, I don't know what I'm gonna say. And I've done all that, and I've got this paper, and I was like, I still don't know what I'm gonna say. And Tommy and I've gotten on there before and said, I don't know what I'm gonna say. He's like, man, I don't really have anything on this one either. I was like, all right, this will be short. And those are always the longest ones.
Well,
so
But you watch the game differently, right? Knowing that you're going to talk about it, so you're watching it as an analyst, not as a fan, right? In a sense, it changes how you consume the content if you're going to have to comment on it.
Probably. I do watch, you know, formations a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I make note of. Just mentally, I don't write it well. Sometimes I'll write it down if I'm at home, but I'll make notes of, oh, that was an interesting, you know, formation, you know, that we did there. That might be interesting to call out. There was one against Mississippi State a couple of weeks ago, and it was a penalty, so the play didn't count. But it was we had two tight ends. It was Forrestall and Carl Tucker out wide, and we had Najee behind them, almost looking like it was going to be a screen. And so that could be a running back screen behind two tight ends. You could release one of the tight ends sort of down the field. You could do it. But to me, that struck me as interesting. You know, that's 21 personnel, but lined up very differently. And so I do try to make a mental note of those types of things. During the Mississippi State game, I've done this the last several years. I tend to count the defensive backs. And sometimes I'll go, you know, maybe a series or a couple plays, and I won't do that. But against Mississippi State, I was intentionally trying to – first, this is my first game time in the stadium for a long time, and I could see the defensive back, so I wanted to do it. But I wanted to see, did we stay in a nickel the whole night – or, I'm sorry, a dime. Did we stay in a dime the whole night? And especially with, you know, two true freshmen back there, I wanted to, you know, keep an eye on them. And so sometimes it's something specific like that that I'm looking for. But then I'll read comments like, oh, yeah, you know, Tim Smith played X number of snaps. It's like, oh, man, I almost don't remember him playing. And so some things I miss because there's a lot going on, you know, in the field. But no, that's a couple sort of the – I don't know that they're tricks, but those are the things that I try to do.
It's what you got to do.
right.
You come up with a process.
Yeah. I mean, I only watch the games once, and I read what I can. But again, it's pretty much Alabama.com and ESPN, you know, Alabama feed. And you remember a lot more detail about the games and like secondary, tertiary players in a way I don't. Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. I just and plus, you know, again, I mean. I don't know if it's because of age, because of Saban, because of expectation or what. Maybe it's all of them, right? But I enjoy the games less than I used to because, you know, now the season is like about surviving, right? Yes. It's like you expect to win all the games. And, like, you know, you're 14-0 and you lose to Clemson. Well, that was a wasted season.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It wasn't amazing, right? You know, several months of awesomeness and ending in disappointment. It was just wasted. And now you got to wait several months to start over again. And then, like, okay, sure, we beat this team. We beat this team. Right.
Right.
So it's really changed how I watch the game because now it's like, you know, I don't expect to win the national championship every year, but I'm mad when we don't because that's the only goal that's useful. Right.
Right.
And, again, like, yeah, there was something – I think you guys might have talked about it. I know the, like, the ESPN guys talked about it back when they had a better podcasting system going.
Yeah.
Like, the year – there was a the – I guess the year the you know, the second or 26th year where we lost to Auburn, backed our way into the SEC, you know, the national championship, you know the playoff and won the national championship. And, like – to me, that's a much better year, right? But they were like, "Is like, whoa, but do you care more about the championship or Auburn?" And it's like, to me, it's no contest. I don't give a crap about Auburn anymore.
Right.
They're just another obstacle to a championship. right? Yep. But I don't live in Alabama and have to live with that crap every damn day, right?
Right, right, right.
There was something. I quit listening to Feinbaum because it's just I can't take it anymore.
So. Right. You know, what you're saying is you know, it's almost like the season sometimes is a necessary evil, and yeah. I hate that that's the case.
It's like the NBA.
It takes something away from it. I mean, I like that we're playing at such a high. I wish you know they could balance, and it, you know, like watching Notre Dame the other day. When they beat Clemson, that I felt like watching like, and it's not like we're a pro team, but it's like we're something in the middle, and I have a hard time sort of articulating what this means, but I think of like Notre Dame as like, damn, they are a really good college football team,
right?
Can they compete with like those hybrid sort of in the middle teams? I don't think they can, and you know, and maybe Clemson is coming down a little bit. And just the sheer joy and euphoria that their fans had for that game. I mean, I don't know that, you know, like right now, could we recreate that? I don't know, you know, if we won out and won the national title, are we going to have that same sort of level of euphoria that they did? I don't know that we would, which is a weird, incredibly weird feeling.
It is.
Which I think made that win against Georgia, for just moments, it had a taste of that. It wasn't like a plate of it, but it was a taste of it.
Well, because we were the underdog.
Like, oh, we almost didn't get this. We almost didn't get it. Like I sat there for the whole second half, like, let's watch all these freshmen because that they're our future, but we're not winning this game. And like every next play was like, oh, we're going to be good next year. And then we win the game. So I didn't see that coming.
Well, I think that's one of the things I've noticed through the last probably 4 or 5 years. Well, back to – I think the turning point was when we were losing to Tennessee and Derrick Henry took the ball around the left and went. That was a game where I was in the game the whole game.
Yep.
Because it was close.
Yeah.
But we have so many blowouts now that and even a blowout that's 38-7 going into the fourth quarter ends up, you know, 41-28. It's still a blowout in my mind because you kind of lose that flavor. But we don't have a lot of close games. And I'm not even I don't want a 3 points, you know. But, you know, within 10, that's a good, you know, 10, 14. So the team has to stay on the ball. And I think Saban's probably – he's mentioned it a few times.
Yeah.
How do I keep these guys engaged when, you know, they're blowing everybody out because we're going to hit somebody that's going to have us down by – 10 points going into the fourth quarter tied with 4 minutes to play, you know? So
it's the way that, you know, he says you played, you know, and he's right. And people are going to say he's crazy, but he's right. You know, you play to a standard. You don't play to the outcome. You play to the standard. And, you know, just a great example. And everyone was like, grouchy old Saban. But when he yelled at Tim Smith coming off the field, you know, with 40 seconds left in a blowout against Mississippi State, it's like this coach is nuts. But you spin it around and you look at it and you say, nope, he's the nose guard. He should know, you know, when the ball – I mean, if anybody, like it's the center, then the nose guard, that has eyes on the ball. And that gave them it was fourth down and it gave them a first. And so you think about, no, we're coaching to a standard here, not to the outcome. And so we're going to get on him. And so I think he's really good about doing that. And in terms of just, you know, watching the games, you know, it's not like I'm looking for those types of events, but it really starts to become, what's the rotation? What's the roster? What's the rotation? Yeah. So we can sort of get a lead on, you know, man, who's good on the team, because they're players that you otherwise might not, you know, get to see, or at least get to see sort of an extended play. So we definitely, definitely try to focus on that.
I always think too, when he gets on the second team and the guys that are filtering in, I think a lot of it is because he's trying to shake them to go, this is your chance.
Yes.
And you know, you don't need, cause I'm going to need you later. But this is your chance right now to show me that I'm going to need you later.
Yep.
You know, and I think that's where he kind of draws the line. That's why he gets upset about it, you know?
Yeah. I think that's true. I think, you know, a player in that type of situation, they should really start to worry when they're not coached hard. Because he's coaching to the potential that he sees in those players. Yeah. And some of the players that he coaches, you know, hard like that, and we only see a little bit of it. We don't see it all in practice. But those that he coaches, you know, hard like that, you know, I imagine if you would do some study on that, those would be some of the players. Some of them can't hack it and they leave. Those that stick it out, I bet, you know, those are the players that end up being really, really good.
Yeah, and I can't think of a player in the Saban area that, you know, kind of transferred out. Yeah, but because he wasn't making it, that made good, right? I mean, Jalen Hurts didn't really count. I mean, he was just he wanted them both, and you know, he graduated and it was time to move. But you know, all the quarterbacks, I mean, all the guys who sort of take the ball and go somewhere else, they don't wind up starting even at the other school.
They almost never do. You know, Jalen Hurts, you could reason is an anomaly, and I agree with that. Alvin Kamara, you know, potentially, you know, is an anomaly. But, you know, even players like, you know, Maurice Smith, who, you know, was going to, you know, do so well at Georgia, he never really did. And damn it, he could have helped us win a national title that year. You know, and so you think of players, you know, players like that. There have not been, you know, the exception, you know, even if, I'll give you Kamara and Hurts, but damn, there's been a lot of players that have left. I think if that's what you got, that ain't much.
No, if I'd had a pick between Hurts and Tua, there was contest. You know.
Yeah.
Now hurt Tua and healthy Jalen out, you know, obviously, but
sure.
You know, that, right. We didn't have that option ahead of time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. What do you guys think about Kentucky?
I don't know much about them. I haven't watched many of their games. I've clicked them a few times, and they're not entertaining to watch.
That's true.
No, I mean, if we're going to play basketball, I think, you know, I'd be more concerned. Now, you know, granted, I'm having a Clyde Mays, and, you know, it's been a couple – we've had a few weeks off now. But, yeah, I suspect we'll get through it. But, you know, but again, that's the damn problem, right? Is like it's a no win situation, right? So you beat Kentucky by 30 points, 40 points, whatever. Okay. Yeah. That's what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. You win by 21. So, ooh, what's going on with Alabama? Yeah, you know, we should give Kyle Trask the Heisman, right?
Right.
Right.
You know,
I think, Aren't they the third? This will sound funny coming out of my mouth. I don't know if the words do this. Won't they be the third top or the third number one ranked defense in the SEC at the point of playing them?
Yeah.
So Georgia, that's fun, right?
Georgia, Mississippi State, and then.
So that's interesting. They do play, you know, they are more of a running team. And so they're less exciting in that regard. You know, we're going to have to tackle at the line of scrimmage and we're going to have to be physical. I can't remember. Did Kentucky play last week? It seems like almost no one in the conference played last week.
Yeah, I can't even remember now. It was crazy last week.
Yeah, they played Vandy.
Okay.
Well, that doesn't really count, but.
It's a game on the schedule, James.
No, that's true.
Fair. Good point. And they did win, although only by three. by three over Vandy.
Yeah, they won by three.
38-34. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Yeah. But, so that's, I think, you know, that might be all you need to know, right? Is, they play Vanderbilt so close, allowing so many points. It wasn't like it wasn't a 6-9 game.
We would
game,
score right? more than 38 points against Vandy and not allow 34.
Yes,
I think I'm relatively confident
in that. Pretty comfortable with that. Yes, yes. You know, I want to see how we come out you know, to start the game. They're going to be a physical team, and so we're going to have to be ready, you know, for that, you know, to start the game. And so if they get the first possession and they sort of pop us in the mouth and gain some yards and kick a field goal, I'm not going to sit there and be surprised. Disappointed, not happy, but not surprised. But then
I'm not expecting a shutout.
And so if it's 10-3 at the end of the first quarter, what's up with this Alabama team? Talk to me at half,
Right. Well, you know, I mean, I'm old enough to remember when that was like every Alabama game.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah, the Stallings era, I think that just took years off the fans' life because just every game was sort of a grinded out. And there was almost a genius to it because Stallings would say, we can score 15 points and win this game.
Right.
So we score 16. Yeah. You know, it's almost like I'm going to name my score. We can score 12 and win this game. So we'd score 13, you know.
It's just, well, and what's weird is we got to the point, especially like in the playoffs, where it's like we can score 31 points and lose this game.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Oh, boy.
Right. This ain't right.
No, right. That's no fun either. But no, that's awesome. Oh, is that Charlie?
Oh, you're on brother. You're on mute. There's a red X to your microphone.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's me, Spark.
Sorry, guys. Charlie, my time zone mixed up. I'm in Arizona and we don't have. And then I had surgery on last week, so I'm a little messed up.
No. How are you doing? You got – looks like an arm in a sling.
Yeah, I had a rotator cuff surgery.
All right.
Last week. So I thought, I'll just jump on and catch the last 15 minutes.
Oh, that's cool. Good. So no more fastballs for you, huh?
That's right. Oh.
I've been trying to figure out a good story, but, you know, I'm too old for stories anymore.
Well, that is the story.
That is the story. What have you guys been talking about?
A little bit of everything.
Yeah.
We were just talking about Kentucky. And, they played Vanderbilt close last week, which we kind of kidded. That's all you needed to know. Close game in the 30s against Vanderbilt probably speaks to their defense. And we probably don't let them score that many. And talked about them being physical. We need to, after 2 weeks off, 3 weeks off, goodness, they might pop us in the mouth to start the game, but it'll be good to see us back out there and how we respond.
Yeah.
I'm interested to watch the nose tackle versus Landon Dickerson.
Yep.
We're supposed to have a nose guard that's like a beast.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And, of course, Landon's about as big yet, right?
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how those two match up.
Yeah, that'll be a good matchup. That's in the defensive interior. They're supposed to have we were just kidding that I think Kentucky is the third number one ranked SEC defense at the time that we've played them. So that's kind of a funny stat.
It is.
So wow. But yeah, they do play and Saban sort of alluded to it in his press conference earlier. You know, their style of play is, you know, really to shorten the game. They're ground and pound and then, you know, try to play a style defense. I don't think that's the style of play that works in this era of football. And I think if it's close in the first quarter, I think we'll stretch it out, you know, by halftime. And I think that'll sort of be the tail of the tape on that one.
Yeah. Are you going to the game, Dave?
Yeah. Going to this one. Yeah, looking forward to it.
What's going with you?
I've got a buddy of mine from college, and he lives down in Mobile, and so he's driving up, and we're going to meet up. Actually, tomorrow night, we're going to meet up tomorrow night in Tuscaloosa.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a friend for a long, long time. He actually went to high school with Tommy, and that's how I'm going. His name's Greg. He and Tommy went to high school together. And I actually met Greg, through Tommy. I met Tommy in a finance class so many years ago. And have a group of friends that I've met through Tommy. But yeah, we're going to meet up in Tuscaloosa tomorrow night. So that'll be fun.
Nice. Tommy's not even going to games anymore.
What's that?
Has Tommy stopped going to games as well?
He's right now. Yes. The short answer to that is yes. He's not going this season. The last two seasons, he's got three kids that are all in activities.
Yeah.
And of course a lot of the soccer, and he's got a girl that is really good at soccer. I think she's probably going to play college or something. Oh, wow. She is really good. And so she's on all these travel teams. And so they'll go from Atlanta, they'll go, you know, to North Carolina or Tennessee or, you know, just all crazy travel for the weekend. And mm-hmm. it's like, holy geez. And of course it's in the fall. So, right. You know, he has said, you know what, they're only young once. I'm going to go do all this stuff, and I'll have the rest of my life to go to Alabama games. It's like, well.
Oh, yeah, that's a great call.
I mean, it is. It's like, damn it, why can't it be the DuBose era or something, you know?
Yeah, you know? Kidding.
But, you know, you don't get to choose all this stuff.
So. Yeah, my two are a little younger, and they've inherited my athletic talent, so there's no worries about that disrupting my schedule that much. So, and I've got three considerably older stepkids, but they're also not athletically talented. So,
yeah. No, he's got a kid. She is really good, and I mean I don't know how that works, but I think she probably plays college somewhere. She's really nice. She is really good. And, and he's got another daughter that's on a swim team, and then he's got a son that's a few years younger, but he's playing, you know, whatever grade football he's in, fourth or fifth grade, he's playing,
nice.
You know, football. And so nice. Obviously that's in the fall too. So,
yeah.
So,
I know that's kids, right? I mean, it's like, I had a birthday a few days ago, and you know, my wife's like, well, every time I ask you what you want to do, it's like you consider the kids. I mean, I had the kids, right?
Right.
You got to consider the kids. Right. It's like, what do you want for dinner? What kind of cake do you want? Well, I mean, you have kids like this, isn't it?
Right, right.
That's like, that's once you got them, you got to factor that in. Mm-hmm. Right?
Absolutely.
So have you guys talked about who's going to take the South Carolina coaching position?
We haven't talked about that.
No.
So we have not.
Have you or not?
No, we have not.
No.
So what do you think the odds of Sarkisian taking it?
I hadn't even thought about it. I'm not sure that's a big enough gap to get him out of Alabama, to be honest with you. Can they pay him enough to be worth it?
Yeah, he's making what, $2.5-3 million at Alabama?
$2.5 million, yeah.
I mean, and you think about it, at some point he's gonna be in the mix.
Yeah.
But at the same time, just like, I mean, he was in the mix last year, but he just said, no, I'm gonna stay here for another year.
Yeah.
I mean, this year being as odd as it is, maybe he'll just say, you know what, I'll just stick around for another year, because
yeah.
You can't get out of the realm of what you're doing there. You know, it's all good. You know, right. So it'd be surprising to see somebody leave.
And what's the upside of coaching at that USC, right?
Right,
right.
You know, I mean, Steve Spurrier is a pretty good football coach, right? Lou Holtz, pretty good football coach. Did either of them do anything, really?
Right.
Well, they said the last.
They didn't, and that was before Clemson was the bully in the state.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, they said the last 55 years of coaches, none of them have left with the winning record.
Wow, yeah. There you go. Jeez. Holy cow.
You know, I don't know why you would take it. I mean, now granted, you know, I mean, I don't have the level of success, you know, Sarkisian's had. You know, nobody's offered me $2.5 million for anything, right? But that's not a bad living.
No, it's not.
No.
Two and a half in Tuscaloosa? Are you kidding me?
Well, yeah, I mean, you can eat at City Cafe lunch every damn day, and it wouldn't make a dent, right?
Right.
Well, yeah, but Worse than that is Bo Pelini makes $2.3 million a year at LSU.
Yeah.
For the next 3 years.
Yeah, that's that's a deal.
And they showed us stats over the last like four of the five games. LSU has given up like between 400 and 600 yards. Mm-hmm. And there was only one game against Vanderbilt that they held them to like 7 points and not many yards. But can you imagine getting paid $2.3 million to just do at the bottom of the barrel?
Yeah, that's
bad.
I think it'll be interesting what happens with coaches this year because all the schools are strapped for money, you know? And you think about it this way. I've always – when they went into the season and everyone was going to be like, oh, they're losing so much money, I think the only thing – and I think some of you guys are in finance. I'm not. But they spend every penny that they can.
Right.
So they just keep giving the coaches more money, which don't you – create a trust to make sure you can get through for the future, you know? So I think the salaries have gotten out of control because they got to spend the money, you know?
Right.
And when you're pulling in a, you know, a profit line of $63 million, well, you just spend the money then, you know, and now some of them don't have any money, you know? So it's crazy.
You spend, you know, $13 million on a mural for the locker room to impress the recruits.
Right.
You know, I mean, $3 million for coordinators. I mean, Jesus.
It's crazy.
It is nuts.
Look at all the coaches are over $7 million now for salary. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah,
I remember an old Hank Williams Jr. song about, like, you know, the pitcher gets $1 million, the quarterback, he gets two, right?
Yeah.
That has been a while. You know, like college coordinators are getting.
Holy moly, yes. Yes. Yeah. I think some program like that has sort of externally deep pockets, and my mind always sort of goes to Texas, right?
Oh yeah.
You know, if they wanted to, you know, have a couple of their oil people sort of step up to the plate, and I don't know, I think there's some disappointment with Tom Herman, and so if a couple of them got together over drinks and said, you know, I'll pony up this if you'll pony up that, and we'll get Sam to pony up some more, and let's make a run at Sark or, you know, something like that. I think that would be a credible threat.
Oh, sure.
Because that's a program. Take
Urban Meyer.
What's that?
They can take Urban Meyer.
No, that's fine. That's but you're right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But it'll be that kind of program. I don't think that, you know, I mean, Kirby Smart, he hung around because he was waiting for the right opportunity. Auburn wasn't the right opportunity. And in Georgia, I mean, say what we want to, that's a pretty damn good opportunity. And and so, you know, I could see Saban having the same conversation. You know, me and Kirby, you know, here's what we talked about. And so South Carolina, that's.
Yeah. I could see Sark being more of a West Coast.
Yes.
It seems like that's, you know, he was at USC, he was at, I don't know what, Washington or something up there for
Washington.
Yeah, Washington
for a short while. So
although Texas would be hard to turn down.
Texas
because there's just so damn much money, and you know you ought to be able to win at Texas.
Yeah, I mean the right coach, I think could. I think that this is a hard place to coach, and they've historically sort of been cheap in their athletic budget, but start going to somewhere like UCLA would be kind of interesting because that gives the West Coast. Yeah. And he could kind of stick it to USC a little bit. Yeah. But they're not known for deep pockets in their athletic program. No. So I don't know that he would go there.
Neuheisel still badmouths him.
Yeah. What's that?
But Neuheisel still badmouths him. It's like, oh, I want to have like a nutrition program I'd have at Alabama. I know we won't do that.
right.
What about
I was reading an article. They were being I think it was from a USA Today article, and the article was talking about the amount of money that they spend on the football team dining budget. And did you see the article?
No, I didn't. It was
an incredible amount of money. Sure. And sort of the premise was that, you know, and they listed sort of the fancy entrees and the steaks and sort of the fancy sort of entrees that they were feeding the team. And they were almost making fun of that, but then sort of layered into the article they said that every bite of food that they feed the players is catered. It's 100% catered because they don't have an in-house dining program. And yeah. So like they were comparing schools, like, I don't even know, you know, who, but they were saying the other sort of top spenders were like $1.5 million a year for dining, which is okay. That's a lot of money, but you know, you think about three meals a day, football players, 12 months a year, sort of, you know, 150 people, whatever. But 1.5 was a big number, and they were saying UCLA, it's 5.5 million. It was insane, the difference. I was like, damn, for that difference, can't you open up like a kitchen?
Get Marriott in, right? I mean, yeah. Right.
Yeah. Can't you like sort that out?
Paid like the other kids at school, right? Because I assume there are a lot of students at UCLA.
Right.
You can probably start a culinary school and have them make the meals for the players.
All of that, right? For that kind of money, you could.
No kidding.
And so I get nutrition. I get all of that because, you know, we do that. And that, I think it's great. But there's something that sort of bridges the gap between, we have no kitchen. We have to cater everything versus, you know, we have something, you know, on site, and I don't know, it's just nuts. But they were talking about, you know, grilled cheese sandwiches, you know, they cater like a couple hundred grilled cheese sandwiches at $8 a pop and just like crazy shit like that. It's like, damn, get a kitchen, man.
Get a staff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, if Auburn loses out the season, how secure you think is Gus's job?
I think that's the right question. It depends on do they have the money to buy him out?
Yeah, and they might give him a hall pass with the COVID. I mean, they might. You almost think they would have given a lot of coaches a hall pass, even South Carolina. But apparently, they were a little too itchy.
Yeah.
Who does Auburn have left? But, you know, figure they don't lose that they don't beat us. They even playing this? Oh, yeah, Tennessee this weekend. Yeah, I would imagine if he loses to Tennessee, that doesn't look good.
No, that wouldn't look good at all.
And then he's still got Texas A&M left.
He'll lose that.
That's tough.
So that's
they could lose out. You're right, Charlie.
Yeah. If they, you know, the Tennessee game will be a little bit of a test. I think if they sort of rise up and play to what they can do, they should beat Tennessee. If that's a close, ugly game, or if Tennessee wins, man, they have just given up. That I think that'll be sort of the measuring stick on that. I think you know, it's easy to sort of look past Tennessee and think, damn, we've got A&M and Alabama. This sucks. Can someone go get COVID? You know.
Yeah. Well, that last game with Texas A&M, I think that's December 12th, isn't it?
Is that like the 12th?
A makeup game or something?
Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds right. Yeah.
Because our last game is on the 5th, I think. We got Auburn and then Arkansas, right?
Right now, yeah, it is. I think they're going to shuffle.
Texas.
I think they're going to be
some Texas A&M Auburn is the last week. And there's right now the bye week, there's only two games right now. But I think Texas A&M needs one of those bye weeks too.
Yeah.
I hope we get LSU. I do too. Just for posterity.
I do too. I mean, the SEC, they put out sort of, and I don't know all the sort of parameters around it, but that they can change your Saturday's opponent as late as Monday at 5.
Monday night.
So yeah. I think they're going to try to play a shell game through the rest of the schedule to try to get everything in. And I think that's going to be interesting because was it the Florida LSU game was canceled and they were going to play that on the 12th. And then now we lost our LSU. So LSU's got two games to try to make up. And so how the hell do you make up two games? The speculation is they move their Ole Miss game, which has no ramifications. They move that to the championship game week to sort of buy an extra week. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I read somewhere that if something like that happens, then Alabama will play like 4 or 5 weeks in a row to sort of finish the season, but that Florida will be like 8 or 9 weeks in a row in counting the SEC championship game. And you think, man, in a season like this, it's already crazy. That's a lot of weeks in a row.
It is.
It might be interesting to see what advantage or disadvantage that plays.
Yeah. What games are you guys, like on a Saturday, upcoming Saturday like this, how much football you plan on watching? You got like three or four games picked or just the Bama game? Or what are you guys, what's your gig about this time of year with this COVID situation?
Yeah, I mean, I've long since, since I, got kids and been married, I pretty much watched the Bama game on Saturdays. And sometimes I wind up recording the Bama games and watching it like ridiculously early Sunday morning. And, I tend to watch the Cowboys, although they've been like, it's been like an atrocious year for them, with all the injuries. And that's it, because there's just too many commitments now. I used to, when I was single and younger, I watched football all weekend, but I can't do it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, but do you try not find out who won how the Alabama game went by Sunday?
I try, yeah. And it's actually not that hard because, if I turn off, the alerts on the phone, it's not that big a deal, But, I try to, have, date nights on Saturdays and go out in the evenings. And so if it's a late game, I just, especially if it's not, a real game, if we're playing almost anybody, right, at this point in the year, right? It's like we're not playing Florida, Auburn. It's just I'll watch it in the morning, and I'll just be disappointed at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning if it's bad.
Yeah.
But, because I kind of expect to win again. It's just like an ordeal you've got to get through. And I hate that it's that way for me. It's like, okay, win this one good enough. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
It's interesting because my anniversary is on January 1st.
Nice.
And I got married in 2010 or 2011. So my wife, just a couple weeks ago, she said, "What are you doing for anniversary?" And I said, "Well, the playoff game's on our anniversary." And so she goes, she actually looked at me. She goes, "Why did you allow us to get married on?" But then there was no playoffs then,
right?
So I didn't know it was always going to be on the first. I'm like, jeez. So we always delay our thing a few days. That, one of these nights too. That was one of the. I was going to send you that question to use it for this. What's our extreme for games? I watched the Michigan State playoff game at a New Year's Eve party. I was sitting there watching the game the whole night, wasn't doing all the New Year's Eve stuff. We were at a wedding too. So it was a wedding on New Year's Eve. But yeah, so I get a little flack around. I got to plan the whole timing thing out, with the way things go.
Well, a couple years back, my oldest daughter was getting married. This is pre-COVID. And her fiance had some issues with her sister being in town. And then in Minnesota or Minneapolis, they decided they wanted to get married on a Friday night in October. And they were so nervous to ask me about it. And it turned out it was like Alabama and I forget what it was, but it was.
I'm hoping it's UT Chattanooga.
it was a pretty good game, but I'm like, okay, daughter trumps football.
Yeah.
So, but she was nervous as hell to ask me about it. Dad, hey, can I get? You think I can get married on October 3rd, 2014 or something? So, I'm like, if you got kids and they ask the right way, they pretty much got you where you want.
Yeah.
They do, but it's like, come on, the off season's long. Right.
Yeah. There's a lot of months in there.
It's like, couldn't do it between February and August. That's a lot of months. That's most of the months.
Yeah, because I claim I got like 10 Saturdays a year. That's all I want. 10-12 Saturdays. So just leave me a fucking alone on those other days. Just you got it. You can look at, you can Google the Alabama schedule. Right. You can see what time they play. So leave me alone. Don't even ask me. Don't call me. Don't do nothing because I don't want any part of it.
Right. So it's the same window every year, right? I mean, come on, people.
Yeah. I mean,
not like it's a surprise.
People have more passionate habits that take 20 days a year, 40 days a year.
Yeah.
I take 13 or whatever it is.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've quit. When I was in graduate school and a few years before, I was a huge like Atlanta Braves guy. Right. Even like doing pretty well in a PhD program, I was watching every Atlanta Braves game from first pitch to last out. Right. I've given that up for a long time now because I can't give 162 game plus playoffs.
Right.
I just don't have it in me. Right. And because I was a football fan before I was a baseball fan, I watch baseball games like I watch football games. Like I'm mad as hell with each loss, even though in a great season, you're going to lose 60 of the damn thing. Mm-hmm. Right. I can't do that.
That'll drive you crazy.
I'm not a joy to be around if the team is not doing well.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I get over it quick. I get over wins really quick, and I get over losses pretty quick, right? But
like in that moment.
But it's every damn day. It's just too much.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So what do you do, Dave, on a Saturday? What's your routine these days? You down watching football, or you got a – what's your deal?
Yeah, I try to when it's a game that I can't go to and I'm at home, obviously everything sort of centers around the Alabama game. This year is the first season that my daughter did cheer for the sort of her grade's football team. And so that was sort of incorporated into some of the weekends as well. Other than that, I try to look for what's the other big game that weekend. And I try to keep it within conference. Ohio State doesn't do anything for me, even though they're a really good team. But I would rather watch a good sort of competitive in-conference game, especially if it's a team or teams that we're going to play. Then I'd really like to watch that. And, either depending upon the schedule, either before our game or after, depending upon, kicks. Our game obviously is sort of the primary. I like to have a secondary one to look at. I don't watch it nearly as closely, but, just to get sort of get a spirit for what they're doing. If it's a game, in Tuscaloosa, like this weekend, my go-to move is to, and again, it sort of depends on when kick is, but if it's a sort of afternoon night game, just tool around the downtown area, a couple of bars I like to hit, maybe a restaurant or two, invariably they'll have a game on TV. And so whatever that game is, I wanted to put my eye on that. I can hop into a bar and have a couple of drinks, maybe have something to eat and watch that game. And again, I'll do that, either before or after before and after our game. So.
Nice.
And how about you?
You got to drive back home though after?
No, I'll stay over. Okay.
That's a good move.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about a 3-hour drive sort of, door to door to from here to there. And, I used to get up, drive over, go to the game, and then drive back sort of all in a day. I try to avoid that. That's a younger man's game.
Well, especially, if you're taking Clyde Mays with you,
Right. right. Yes. Yeah. I want to be able to enjoy the cocktail.
Yeah.
Or several.
Yeah.
Yes. I like to have that as an option.
Yes.
I know what you mean about watching a conference game, though, because Saturday night, the girls went to bed. So I had free flick on the clicker. And I tried to watch other games. And I was like, man. None of this is any good. Right. So I ended up watching the South Carolina Ole Miss game because that was a good game,
Yep.
So
my wife gets a little bit annoyed, or maybe she just laughs at me. Sometimes I can't tell the difference. But it was, and this is sort of has been the truth for years. And so we're watching, you know, that SEC game that sort of, you know, catches my attention. And so if we both happen to be sitting down watching it, or, you know, she's noticing that I'm watching, who are you for? And so who I'm for is 100% about how it impacts us in the schedule. Like 100%. Like, what's this team because X, Y, Z. And she's like, I don't need like all the math, just which color jersey are
you? Which color?
Yeah. No. But it's nice when there's two teams playing that you don't, no one has an advantage and you don't ever have to really pick one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And just watch it.
Just observer, unbiased observer, and just want either team. But talk about Saturday's game with Ole Miss. Did you see when Lane Kiffin threw his, they kept calling it a clipboard.
Yeah. His play sheet.
A clipboard could have killed somebody.
Right. Yeah.
And it's funny, the announcement didn't dawn on him. Like, well, he probably didn't throw his clipboard, but it was like the play sheet with the, like a slab of cardboard in it, I guess, right?
Yeah. It's probably laminated. I think it's probably laminated.
Laminated to cardboard or something. Yeah.
That was the highlight of the game. I mean, that was the big game.
He did that a couple of times.
He did it twice.
He did that a couple of times. I think it's about in the interview we did with Neil McCready. I think you know, he was right. It's all about juice. It's all about buzz. You know, around the program.
Yep.
And so, you know, Lane Kiffin has always sort of, you know, called a touchdown before, you know, while the play's in motion. Yeah. And I honestly think he was ramping it up. And the fact that everyone was talking about it, the fact that they kept replaying it, the fact that that was on SportsCenter. Yeah. I bet he was like, that's right. There's that extra sort of buzz about it. And it makes him look sort of more offensive genius because he's calling a touchdown on that one play. I mean, you know, it was a busted coverage. And so the wide receiver was running, you know, you stop at the film and anybody could call a touchdown. But that quarterback had just sort of turned because, you know, he had given his back to this side of the field and he knew that it was a breaking play and he turned and was and right about here, he's throwing a clipboard up, doing the arms. It was like the quarterback hasn't even thrown the ball yet.
Yeah.
But and so I think there's a little juice in the recruiting that that they're going to play.
Perfect. For well, then he ran and then he ran down the sideline.
Yes.
Like, almost like neck and neck with the wide receiver.
Yes.
But he did it.
I think it's all about getting in the shot.
He's making that team relevant. You kidding me? I mean, he's.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, not that damn relevant, but yeah,
it's some recruiting legs out of that thing.
Yep. I mean, it'll be interesting to see sort of how it plays out, you know, over time. But he's in ways like that. He's doing a lot to sort of. I don't know if brand's the right word, but to put the name out there and put sort of his reputation out there. Because, these kids today, they're not going to go to Ole Miss because of Hottie Toddy. They're going to go to Ole Miss because of Lane Kiffin.
Right.
And then he gets on the interview and he acts like a little like sixth grader. Well, you know, I'm just, you know, kind of like bobs his head and he's kind of got this. And then, you know, he's got this shit-eating grin behind him. Like, you know. And probably the moment he threw the clipboard or the whatever, he probably got the headset. Those guys are probably saying, hey, the TV crews are going nuts.
Right.
Do it again.
Do it again.
Yeah. But it's funny, though. I mean, all those years with Saban, I know he learned some tricks, but he still don't think he's learned how to run a program. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. Not to the level you were
not
used
the
to.
Full, not the full program.
Yeah,
I agree.
Because I mean, he was a boy genius, right? I mean, he was like the head coach of the damn Oakland Raiders at what, like at 32, 33, some crap, right?
Yeah.
Man, and he got the Tennessee job after that, the USC job after that. You know, was coordinator at Alabama. Then you know, he's got this job, or yeah, I guess he got the whatever, some directional Florida school, and now this. But I mean. By this point in Saban's career, he was just so – I mean, I think even when Saban was at Toledo, he was more mature than Kiffin will probably ever be. Right, but
– Right.
Right.
It's good fun to watch him, though.
Yeah. Because I don't think Saban is a genius in the same sense, right? I don't think he is like an – some defensive savant or like has revolutionized the game. He is just about, you know, just bear down, do your damn job.
Yep.
Every damn play.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's hard as hell to transfer that, because most of us are not geared that way.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right.
You
know? Yeah. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And that, you know, struggle is the wrong word, because look at the success he's had. But that, you know, just if there's been a sort of a struggle with some of the players, connecting to some of the players, that's what it's been.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, that's what it's been. But
it's hard to tell a 18-year-old who's been just a god since he entered, you know, athletic competition. Yeah. All right, buckle down. It may be 2 or 3 years before you get on the field.
Right. Yeah. That,
right. Dude, yeah, like, if you weren't real.
I don't understand what those words mean.
You know, you want me to play?
You've not seen me play.
Did you hear his quote this morning or today somehow? Somebody asked him, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to get it right, but what his reaction is when other coaches who recruit against Alabama say that Saban doesn't play players during their freshman year. And Saban's response is, well, no general manager has ever asked me how much this kid played his freshman year.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but although he's played a lot of freshmen lately, though, I mean, I think he has broken that mold.
I think if you go back, even, I mean, I don't know, there's been a year that we haven't played, you know, some freshmen. And it's, you know, some it's more than others, but he has almost always played, you know, two or three or four, you know, freshmen, especially, you know, some of the better ones. You know, there's almost always the freshman who gets a chance to play. And in the last 3 or 4 years, it's been even a bigger number than that. And, you know, this year, last year, no exception. We were talking about the 2018 championship against Georgia. I drove my wife crazy saying, you know, Alex Leatherwood, he's a freshman. These three receivers, they're a freshman. Najee's, you know, a freshman. This other play over here is a true freshman. It's like, geez, I got tired of saying it because there were so damn many of them. It's, you know, so it's what he said there is, I think he's clever. I think that's right. That's super clever.
Yeah.
It's also like, well, I don't know. Look at the tape too, because, you know, the record sort of speaks for itself.
Yeah. That's all good.
Yeah, absolutely. But,
all right.
I don't know.
So the guy, Brian, he won the ticket, Dave. Was that the deal?
Yeah. Brian Hawkins.
And you got a winner down for the mug or the glass?
Yeah.
Oh, it's right here.
Looking at him. Roll Tide. Chris.
Right there.
Chris, look at that. There it is.
Nice.
I drank out of it. Christened it tonight. So
there you go.
Oh, you already got it?
Yeah. I got it. Got it Tuesday. So.
Yep. So
did it involve
what's that?
Did it involve any X-rated experiences, or was it?
No. Huh? It was on the last podcast. You talked about it, right? I mean,
oh, my story. Yeah.
Yeah. So, we're doing another one. We're doing another, and it's, I should have been prepared for that. What player, in your sort of experience, what player sort of rose it above and made game day extra special?
Yeah.
And I don't know how long we'll collect those. I have zero entries.
Oh, wow. It took me a while to enter the last one.
What's that?
It took me a while to enter the last one.
Yeah.
Oh, have you rolled that out yet, Dave, or are you just rolling it out now?
It was on the last podcast. I did a bi-week podcast. I think it's in the bi-week podcast.
It was in the last non you know, subscription podcast.
The last full group.
Yeah. Which I listened to. You released it before the last one of these, but I hadn't gotten around to it. So I listened to that after this.
Okay. Yeah. So
because I'm not commuting like as much as I used to. I mean, more than I was in, you know, for a few months there. But
yeah.
You know, not commuting has cut into my podcast time, man. Yeah. I just don't have time to listen to all the podcasts.
Well, yeah, and one of the things I've decided, for a variety of reasons, is I've cut out most of my sports podcasts because I've decided that it's aggravating to listen to stuff because you get riled up about it and it's meaningless. Right. Yeah, so it's like I just deleted like the Paul Feinbaum thing, even though when he used to have like an aggregate podcast, like he'd released the hours, but then there was one that was like just the best of. He quit doing that. Yeah. It's like I cannot listen to these morons for 4 hours, right?
Right.
If you can just do the where you're talking about football, and I got to listen to a couple of idiots, fine, you know. Yeah. But the stuff that if I don't listen to it today, it's meaningless tomorrow. Why the hell am I listening to that?
Right. Yeah, so, it becomes like a to-do list.
Oh my God, right. And I've got a lot of podcasts in my feed. So I just like I've deleted a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. And even like the stuff in my field, like the national security stuff, because it became all about like Trump, blah 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 blah. And it's like, oh God, I can't take it. It's just like I know what you're gonna say, you're right. But I can't think
anymore.
Educating Annie. Right?
So. Dave, you're listening to them all on 1.5 times speed.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Charlie.
Oh no, I said, Dave, you're in Atlanta, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so you're still in the hotbed of politics, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you've done the recount again, although you've got the damn
runoff.
Yeah.
Oh, they got the two Senate runoffs, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the dumbest damn thing because we've got to have some sort of instant runoff voting. You know, it was like a 4-point spread in both races, but because there's like some idiot libertarian ran and took 3 votes, you know, it's like you gotta do it again. Why?
Yeah, it's we're not out of the mailers and commercials.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh geez, come on.
Yeah, and they're pretty brutal too. That's the problem. Yes. Thank God football teams don't play like politics, right?
Oh my God.
Can you imagine there's the bantering back and forth and there's a fair amount of hatred, but you know, they don't post commercials and call each other nicknames and
you know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, you know, you remember Jim Carville, right? It was like after like one of the LSU losses a couple of years ago, it was like there's just conspiracy with the refs. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
What are we talking about? You know, this is obviously, he wasn't talking about it as much last year. You know, LSU won the national championship, but it's like, you know, come on, Jim, seriously?
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
All right, fellas, I gotta get off.
Yeah. Right? I'm reaching that point, too.
Sorry for jumping on those guys.
Hey, good conversations. Good to see you guys again. Hey, let me, before you guys leave, our next one of these, I pulled it up.
We've only got one left, don't we?
We have one left, and it's not until it's not until Saturday, December the 5th, the Arkansas game. So, would you guys be interested in something next week? I know it's Thanksgiving, holidays, and all that. That's why I didn't book anything. But if we did something like next Wednesday, would that be of interest to anyone?
I could do Wednesday. I could do Friday. Whatever. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
probably not Thursday.
Not Thursday. Yep. Now, the Saturday game is Auburn, and so my wife and I are going to that. So, otherwise, Saturday morning would be really good, I won't do that.
Enjoy.
I may throw something out for Wednesday, and then if they muck with the schedule and move games around a little bit, we'll sort of move these to match up. So, watch your email traffic.
Sounds good. That.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds good. Right. And I assume we'll do something once presumably win the championship and go into the playoffs. I assume there'll be another call.
Yep. I to Charlie's point, it's like, oh, if I book it, man, I'm not going to book it.
Oh, no.
Right. I won't jinx us that way.
Yeah.
But yes, we'll do every bit of that. We'll probably do something for A-Day and
One of the first emails I ever sent you is like, you realize that there was another game after we played Clemson this year, right?
You're going to be like the guy on the Dr. Pepper commercial. You know, that jinxes it. You know, the guy that helps.
Automatic.
Yeah. We're about to put you in the cop car, Jim.
That's right.
Alabama lost. They were supposed to lose. They were supposed to lose this early.
Yep, oh, absolutely.
Mark my word. No. Mark, that's a double jinx. So, anyhow.
Negates it.
That's right. Negate it.
Very good. Very good, gentlemen.
All right. Thanks, gentlemen. Have a good evening.
See you. Roll Tide.
All right. Roll Tide, fellas.